I'm still in bed. I've just woke up. Listen to the bleating lambs in the field of our farm. They're probably all stopped now, isn't it? It's like, don't work with bleating lambs.
Oh, listen.
There we are. Had a little mare. Get up. It's coming up to a week since the first ever She Ultra was born here on the Llyn Peninsula. What a weekend it was. Got a brilliant interview coming up with Rachel, my co-host, and Sophie Power, GB international runner, head honcho over at She Races. Today's episode is sponsored by Beautifully Brutal, the home of trail and ultra running, walking, hiking here in North Wales. Google us, Beautiful Brutal, Pennsylvania Ultras as it used to be called. We've also got the Triple Crown starting on the 8th of June. What does that mean, Hugh? What does it mean? It means bag yourself three of our events and you get a Triple Crown. We don't actually get a crown, we get a medal, because I have googled where we can get crowns, but if I gave everybody a crown, we'd be bankrupt, so you just get a medal. I shouldn't have said just, you get a medal. Anyway, get up. She Ultra Special. Wow. And as it stands, 700 women have already signed up for next year. Unbelievable. It just shows, well, you'll hear Sophie and Rachel talking about it, especially as a stepping stone event for those of you that want to get into the outdoors or for some me time. And we're currently on £18,500 raised for women's charities. That's what it's all about. So enjoy today's special of the Get Up podcast with She Races. Might have to go back to sleep because that was a little bit millennium pauses. I'll get up. Get up, everybody. Hang on, I'm just going to clear my throat. Get up. It is She Ultra Special. And it's She Ultra Eve Eve, which is Thursday. If I've done my maths right, the 18th of April, without checking. Friday's 19th. Event day is the 20th. She Ultra, what is it? It's the first ever all women ultra marathon charity event, raising funds for women's cancer charities, for women that have cancer or have had cancer or living with somebody with cancer or have lost somebody with cancer. Regular listeners will know that I'm on my own journey. I'm stage 4 inoperable neuroendocrine cancer, and I came up with the idea whenever I was going through various treatments and so on. And you know, when you've got time on your hands, when you're on the bench of life watching everything go by, I came up with the idea of the She Ultra as a fundraiser for women's cancer charities. Now, we've got the Race for Life, there's also the London Moonwalk, but there wasn't anything for women that wanted to do an ultramarathon event. What's unique about this is there's no cutoffs. This means that it can be done as a sponsored walk. So there's the mix. You've got the racers, the runners, the hikers, but then you've got walkers who are out for a good time, for a good day. It's up to them where they want to finish. Loads of aid stations, fully stocked. because it's an all women event, as well as a women photographer. We've got sanitary products and hygiene products. Those are at all the Beautiful Brutal events now. There's extra toilets, there's areas to pump, there's also She Ultra ambassadors. Now, this is where we're disruptive. Each She Ultra ambassador, we've got walkers, runners, like, you know, you've got the marathon angels that come and join in with you if you've just want somebody to go with you. Well, we've got that as well. So it's going to be such a great day on Saturday. But I thought, you know, whenever you really want to have a scoop with, oh, who's behind the scenes there? I want to speak to. And I thought, oh, it's me. it's me. So is this a kind of Peter Sellers moment where the interviewer becomes the guest becomes the interviewer, the patient is the fundraiser is a patient. I'm recycling myself, so that's what we're doing. So on the Get Up special for the She Ultra weekend, starting it now, you're probably thinking, hey, what are you doing at the moment? Well, I'm currently looking at two dogs, Izzy, who's next to me, and Coco, who is having a little bit of a rest after taking a shit in the kitchen. Apart from that, I'll be editing this all up together. So this is Thursday. This is also known internationally as She Ultra Eve. A bit like Christmas Eve. Get up, and we'll just edit along and enjoy the show. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Rachel, how are you?
Yeah, good.
We're in the show. I'm just waiting for Sophie to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the Get Up podcast. No introductions needed anymore because we're all a bit sleepy.
Absolutely.
Oh, how are you doing after the weekend, Rachel?
Yeah, surprisingly okay. I expected to hurt more than I do, so... Yeah, that's a bonus.
Yeah, and if you just join us thinking, what are they talking about? It's the She Ultra special. Just in case you thought, what have you been on a roller coaster? Have you been playing rugby?
Yeah. How are you, though? I bet you're shattered, aren't you, still?
Yeah, the sort of the adrenaline, not the adrenaline, well, it must be the adrenaline, but yeah, today's the day where I'm happily sitting on the sofa eating some lobscouse. And yeah, I'm done in. But it's what fantastic weather we had.
Oh my god, and it's raining now, so you definitely put a word in somewhere, didn't you?
Oh, we were just so lucky. The beach finish, you know, people say it was a champagne finish at races, but that was
it. Absolutely. I've done lots of events in my life, and there's nothing compares to that. It was just out of this world.
I think as well, we forget a lot where we live, that it's a destination for so many people, especially if you live, you know, nowhere near the seaside or anything like that.
Yeah, which I don't. I mean, I thought that, you know, we had some hills in Derbyshire, but we are pancake flat compared to you.
Yeah, and that for us here, we're quite flat.
Yeah. I now have so much appreciation for the people in the December Nightmare Challenge because, honestly, I was like, Jesus, this is just never ending.
Not the Nativity calendar challenge, as it was originally called. It's the Nightmare Challenge.
The Nightmare.
I'm just going to see where Sophie is. Sophie, are you here? No.
No.
Well, we'll do what they call in the football world. We'll pad it out and what are they called? As if we're sort of TV clip. What are they called? TV clinic. You know, whenever they not critics. They're, you know, what are they called?
How amazing as well is that fish and chip shop in? How do we say it? Is it Fwelly? How do you say the word?
I'm going to teach you how to say Pwelly as we wait for Sophie to join us. Right. As if you're going to pull something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's wrong. Right. So try and say the word poo and pull at the same time.
Pull.
Yeah, right. It's the stop. Yeah. Put. And then. That's it. Helly.
Push Helly.
Push Helly. And I will say that slower. So, oh no, quicker. So, push Helly.
Pwelly.
Push Helly. That's it. That's my hometown.
Chip shop is incredible.
Yeah. People were inhaling fish and chips after the event on Saturday.
Were they?
But it's brilliant. I'm just going to text Sophie just to see if she's about or if she's got signal. Hang on. Cool. I'll just send a text. Talk to the people, Rachel, wants to send this.
What would you like me to say?
I just talk. I don't know. Do a bit of a podcast or something about something.
About something.
Do a bit of a podcast about the shield whilst I send the text. Hang on.
I say the word pwelly.
Yeah. Pwelly.
Pwelly. Nothing's open in your on a Sunday either.
No, it's not.
On a Sunday.
What did you want to buy on the Sunday?
I just wanted to look in the shops. I wanted a magnet. I just wanted to have a mooch round, but everything was...
Magnets! Yeah, you could normally get that in Caxton House. Anyway, next year, we're going anti-clockwise. So you finish... So you start on the beach in Aberystwyth and you finish in Pwllheli, where there's going to be like a kind of festival feel. You know, you see these European races like the UTMB or the Trans Gran Canaria or the World Mountain Champs. You actually come into the town and there's like... There's going to be pop-up bars, you know, burger stands. Any there's going to be DJs. What?
Fireworks?
No fireworks.
And?
No. Well, maybe later on, I don't know. But let's just focus on what's not going to get us into trouble. Right, yeah. So, do you know what? Let's just start the show. And then when Sophie comes, we can just maybe do some editing. Or we'll just carry on the conversation. So, can you talk me through what you thought the Shieldtra was going to be and then what the experience was? Because sometimes that can be different. Absolutely. To, you know, sometimes people not sell it, but they explain it different to actually being in it. So what were your, you know, talk me through that.
I knew through you just how many people had entered, etc. However, I genuinely was not expecting the sheer amount of people for a start. I didn't expect such a large scale either. Most of the ultras and things I've done have been very, you know, your start, no sort of start line as such. Just silly things like the music, the Lee on the mic. It was just another world. And there was such a buzz that morning, even from like 6 a.m., you know, everybody you could tell was really hyped up, really excited to be there. There was no, it wasn't hectic. You know, there was plenty of toilets. Like I say, I knew it would be a long day out. In my head, I don't know where I got it from, but I thought it was 29 mile. So the last three broke me. I think I text you in the last three just going, this is shit,
this is hilly. I'm broken,
because I genuinely got in my head that it was 29.
Yeah. So
I couldn't understand why my watch was not down and why I couldn't see a finish line. And to say the sheer amount of people, you know, at the start, I started right at the back with Heidi with the tail sweeper, just having a chat and soaking up the atmosphere. And yes, we passed some people, but it never felt cramped on the course.
Yeah.
There was plenty of people around. You never felt on your own or isolated, but equally, they didn't feel like there was a backlog and you're desperately trying to get past people. Everyone was really courteous. If you wanted to pass, I was just polite and said, I'm on your left. People happily moved over. Everyone was so supportive. Like I say, nothing I've ever done before.
And talk us through the aid station. So the first one was in Plas Glynawedd. And I thought what was lovely about Plas was all the women there, Welsh speakers. So we had the WhatsApp group, which was just purely Welsh, which was lovely.
And the sun was really sort of coming up now, so it was getting warm. They had a Hawaiian theme. The first thing I spotted was watermelon, which was just the best shout ever. Orange slices. They had a whole table full of vegan food, but like proper vegan, not, you know, a token bar or what have you. They'd got proper branded like corn products. They were so happy to be there, the ladies. They were buzzing. Music was going. Couldn't do enough for you. Like I say, the food was incredible. Cheese and pineapple on a stick.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, it was honestly, you know, everybody there was just like, wow. And that's where the sculpture for the She Ultra logo was.
Yeah. Did you go and have a look at her?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know the amount of people that stopped to have a photo? There was a poor chap. I saw him at quite a few checkpoints. He was on a bike. He seemed to be the official photographer for us all. There was just queues of us waiting to have our photo to be taken next.
Oh, to tell you who that was. That was, I think, he wasn't the official, but he's Chaz.
Right.
He's the husband of Shaz.
Okay.
Who was the smiley lady.
Right.
Very smiley and helpful lady on the headland.
He cycled quite a bit of the course and, bless
him. Oh, no, that was Avion. That was Alary's wife, husband. Sorry, that was Alary's husband. Who was at the Butunno Gauge station? It's such a great community vibe with everyone.
Yeah, and you know, in between checkpoints, the amount of locals that had come out of their houses, offering just sweets and chocolate, and you know, when we hit the beach after checkpoint four, the home sort of stretch. There was a little girl and a dad, they'd been down to the beach and she'd got her bag of sweets and she was sharing it with all the rest.
Oh.
And honestly, I've never known anything like that. So it
that's
was
nice.
Outstanding.
We have to mention the other checkpoints, otherwise yeah. I'm dead.
So oh. I actually go in checkpoint two. So that was at the little school, wasn't it?
I think Sophie.
Hi, Sophie. Hello. Us.
Ah.
Hello. Sophie,
we were just chewing the cud about the...
Checkpoints.
The checkpoints and so on, which we can segue into and back to afterwards. Yep. So how are you doing, Sophie?
I'm quite tired. Are you recording? Are we recording this yet for the podcast? Yeah. Just like, oh, no.
We're in. We've gone. No, but we can edit this out if you want. Hello? Oh, everybody's gone.
I'm here.
Oh, hello? Sophie? Sophie's gone.
Oh. Oh.
Sophie. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Sophie's gone.
Right. Should we go back to checkpoint two then?
Yeah, checkpoint two. Yeah, go on.
Checkpoint two, was that at the primary school?
Yes.
So I didn't actually go into the checkpoint. I just gave my number and I got some of my kit out of my car. Again, kids sitting in the playground with tambourines and all cheering you on. Again, the atmosphere around there was incredible. Heidi, the friend that I ran with, went in, said they had, again, an incredible selection of food. She stopped and grabbed a couple of sandwiches and crisps. Checkpoint three, that was...
Butunnog.
The what?
Another school.
Yes, so that was the largest school. The football fields on the other side.
Yeah.
Again, people were actually sat down at this checkpoint having... taking on proper food, you know, sat at a table. Again, the selection was absolutely incredible. Everybody, again, so friendly. And there was a lot of, when I came through, there was a lot of supporters, families that come down to the area to cheer us on, and they were outside all the lay-bys.
And that's such a great distraction, isn't it? Because you could be having the kind of, oh, this is bullshit, I'm tired.
I had a dip because I hadn't taken on any food at this point.
Because you didn't go to checkpoint two.
Because I didn't. I actually just wasn't hungry. I'd taken a fluid and it was hot and I was soaking up the atmosphere, taking lots of photos. Tell a lie, I had pineapple on a stick at checkpoint one and a square of watermelon, but I hadn't taken on any proper food.
Hmm.
So when I got there, Daffod actually went and raided his van and came back with like a caffeine boost block. Zoom or something.
Oh, yes.
And gave me one of those. And yeah, I took on proper food then. But I mean, a massive shout out has to go to Checkpoint 4. The Portaloos were just not spotless. There was no queue and there was sanitary products in the hall.
Brilliant. Because what we did was we went, as well as having the extra Portaloos and putting the sanitary products in that, we put extra sanitary products in all the...
in the schools, yeah, in the toilets there.
But also in the public toilets, not only on the route, but also in and around the Thurn Peninsula, just to make sure friends and family had them.
It didn't go unnoticed. And, I mean, at this checkpoint, they had hot rice pudding, they had soup. I think it was pretty much Mary Lou's kitchen. The amount of food at Checkpoint 4 was just insane. And again, loads of people come down to this one to cheer us all on and support. So again, every checkpoint was absolutely buzzing with...
Did you see any of the lambs in the sheep shed?
I did.
Brilliant. Is Sophie here? Sophie, have you popped in?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Sophie, we can.
Spotify didn't like me.
It's probably the rural signals of my house, which seems to be some sort of like Bermuda triangles for signals with podcasts. Hilarious. So yeah, how are you doing, Sophie?
I'm good. I'm recovering because I had to run the She Ultra and then I had to get up and run another 20 miles the next day. So I'm a bit tired.
I bet you are. What route did you do on Sunday?
So what happened was I lost a shoe somewhere between the end of the race and getting back to my hotel.
Right.
Oh.
Oh. Signal. Doesn't happen on Graham Norton, this, does it? Graham Norton doesn't have this.
Absolutely not.
Oh, hi. You're back again.
No, she's gone.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, blast. Anyway, so Mary Lou, she's just amazing.
Honestly, the energy. Like I say, every checkpoint you went through, obviously there were a lot of ambassadors out there that weren't running themselves. They were just doing the checkpoints. But there's not one criticism. Everybody was so friendly. Everyone on the course, the amount of women I spoke to on the course that, I mean, I spent time with one young girl with the gym and they do circuits. She said it's very male dominated. And she'd seen the advert for this with some other friends. She actually started the race with her friend and her friend had to sort of drop back. And she'd never done any more than a 10 miler. And she was just walk running, plodding. And she just had the best day. And she just kept swapping between groups. And another lovely young girl that I met after Checkpoint 4, bless her, she had never done more than 3 miles. She was a fast park runner. She competed semi-professionally and never done more than 3 mile. And so every mile over 3 miles, she was just so thrilled with herself. And just... like I say, everybody on the course was so friendly. You'd split in and out of everybody's conversations. Everyone was so welcoming.
And I think as well, you know, that because it's an event rather than a race, although there is, as you say, racers at the front sort of thing, but hikers in the middle and walkers at the back. But back in the day, this would have been called a sponsored walk. You know, because it's, you know, you've got the Race for Life, you've got the Moonwalk, and now you've got the She Ultra, which is, and it's
I've never met so many people on an ultra to actually talk to and just hear their stories as well.
Yeah.
And we were all run walking. Everyone was plodding. There was times, you know, up a hill that none of us were going to run up. We were all just walking up it. And normally, you on ultras, I've found in my experience, has been people stay in their little pockets. And apart from saying thank you or well done as you pass, there's no communication. Mm. On this, it felt completely different.
And I think that's what needs to be done in all events. I think the word race puts people off
yeah.
so much. And these are people that, you know, because a lot of events now don't have cutoffs, and that's, you know, you don't have to buy all the gear. You don't have to, you know, over focus with training and all that kind of thing. You can just enjoy it, because I think there's a lot of cash cows out there that don't really need to be milked by people, where you can just enjoy a good day out, and, you know, there we are.
Absolutely.
It was great to see, you know, because as well as the ambassadors, we, you know, we give quite a few free places out to various like charities. There's quite a few NHS nurses, like my three I've got like three nurses that are in the surgery in Pateli, and I said, oh, do you fancy giving it a go? And, you know, they all finished it. You know, and the handy thing is, as you say, coming out of the cutoff, coming out of the aid stations, you know, because there wasn't a sort of a race atmosphere, people were being able, you know, you could hear them talking through the woods, where normally I've been at that aid station and it's quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
It's just people just that. And it is about, you know, your experience and just having fun. But it's great. And we've managed to raise £17,500 so far. This is, what day is it? 28th. What day are we on now? The 24th, whatever. So yeah, we've managed to raise £17,500. Well, that everybody took part have. And we've also had 600 sign up, well, just over 600 sign up since midnight for next year, you know, which is fabulous. And it's, you know, it's just great. And it's really important for the local community here, because we're, you know, tourist reliant. And the beautiful thing about the endurance tourist is they'll visit this area a couple of times before the event.
Yeah.
You know, to go on a recce.
Yeah.
Like a guided walk and so on. So, you know, they'll pop into the little cafes, the bars, the, you know, the little Airbnbs. And that's, you know, we're so thankful for that, you know, as a community running, you know, how we're replicating it now. There's what going to be one. So the only place in the UK, mainland Britain, is going to be in the Llyn Peninsula. You know, a few people said, oh, can you have another one, you know, in different parts of the UK? And it's like, well, we want to show off where we live, and we want you to, you know, make a weekend of it. There's going to be one in Portugal as well, and that's going to be for women's... Sophie's back.
I was actually listening to you and realising you couldn't hear me, and just enjoying listening all about the race and kind of all the money that's been raised and kind of Rachel's feedback on it. So I was just sitting there going, wow, and just thinking about... kind of reliving the day in my head, which was just a lovely thing to do. So, but I'm back on now. I'm back here. You can hear me now.
I like that, the way a podcast guest can listen to the show when they're on the show. we are disrupting podcast, what do you call it? But yeah, Sophie, what did you think?
Of the day? I think I have one of the best days in my life at She Ultra. And I don't think that's kind of overstating it. I think kind of I ran round and then spent another 7 hours at a finish line, which I don't think I would have ever done in any other race scenario. But I was in tears most of the day behind my sunglasses, just seeing these amazing women cross the finish line and then kind of chatting to them to get their stories. And because, I mean, I want to write about it. I want to share kind of everyone very unique story, and it meant so much to so many women. And kind of, as you say, kind of Rachel, a lot of people doing it for the first time and just going through kind of the survey details, and you know, most people kind of hadn't run anywhere near this distance before and just took it on. And it felt, I think, even from the start line felt so different, and I was trying to work out what was different, and it was, there was a respect for personal space. I wasn't being elbowed. I wasn't being crushed. There was no, I want to be first off the line. It was hard. I think it was hard for you to get everyone to come through to the start line.
Because... there was a politeness about it, wasn't there? Yeah, that was yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. I was trying to think of, you know, we've all, you know, we've been lucky enough to be to Chamonix and so on, but there was a very special spirit kind of feeling, and like a lot of people who would just come to watch that didn't have anybody taking part, they said, you know, Hugh, I was crying my eyes out, you know, that's, it was like kind of an emotional togetherness, but no, fantastic, Sophie.
And we had our guard down. I think kind of it's only when you are in that atmosphere when it is all women that you realise that in all other aspects of races, you naturally have your guard up and there's a different feeling and there's a, and it's not, it's, I can't explain it. It's like an underlying, not a threat, but it just feels very different to be able to let your guard down and really kind of be completely you and focus on meeting people and enjoying things. And that's how I felt. And if I go through like the numbers on the survey, talking to people, you know, the female only nature was a really big part of the reason why a lot of women signed up, because they wanted that kind of sense of kind of togetherness that you naturally get when it's just women.
Absolutely.
And I think as well, the openness of a trail ultra or trail event, as you say, gives that, you don't feel blocked in, or, you know, in a sense, people who are body conscious and so on, it's like, well, there isn't crowds of people looking at me, or you know and it's like, right, this is me time. Completely, it's the purity.
There was no feeling of, you know, not even just what you're wearing or you know how you view yourself. It just felt so inclusive. Whether you're a runner or a walker, hiker, whatever, it didn't matter. You were all competing, you know, the same race.
And then, say, for the, like, you know, like She Races and so on, and what did you think, Sophie, of the what was provided, you know, on the day?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. And I think kind of when we think about She Races, I mean, the start is getting more women to start lines and more women to finish lines, and a great experience on the day. And I think for particular for the women that signed up, I mean, this wasn't a kind of race that people are trying to PB. You can't PB in ultra because the course changes. But when we look at the people that signed up, the women, they see themselves as middle of the pack, back of the pack athletes, and just them being fully supported to achieve something. And that it was all about the race did absolutely everything it possibly could. And even kind of, for example, kind of having Sam kind of, who was deaf, kind of having a sign language interpreter on the start line meant so much to her, and was just a kind of case of another example of how it just looked at every woman and said, how do we get all these women across the finish line? So kind of, if I look at what people thought was most important, you know, kind of cutoffs came up as the most important thing of almost half when they were given one option. What's the most important thing? It was cutoffs.
Yeah.
And even talking to women that were finished in 8 hours, even though there were women that were finishing in 12, 13 hours, it was the cutoffs. It was taking away that pressure. So that you could just do the best you can. And oh, the toilets, lots of love for the toilets. And the period products, and the not having to queue for a toilet, and being loads of toilets and marked toilets. And oh, we love a toilet, don't we?
No, and that, as you say, the for us to have the trackers as well, that was so important, that, you know, we had somebody like Open Tracking, which gave us the support, because as behind the scenes of everything, there was, you know, the local police had been contacted as well. And at registration, because it was just women only, and although Dan from Open Tracking was there, there was also a domestic violence police woman, and also my friend Ria from the you know, housing and so on. And they had quite a few inquiries for friends, you know, from the women. So I think that was a lovely opportunity for once again, a safe space to talk if somebody wanted to.
Yeah.
No, great. And for somebody who isn't able to read a map or so on, what was the marking like in the course?
You know, that's me all over. I can't read a map. And that was a huge bonus. I went wrong once, and that was purely my own fault. I was too busy talking and taking photos that I missed the yellow post. And I wondered, I could even see people to my left walking in a different direction. And I wondered what on earth they were doing. I thought they were going for a wild wee. And then realised that actually I was off course because I got to a gate that hadn't got a yellow tag on it because everything was marked. And the only, you know, like I said, I got to this gate, no yellow marker. And I was like, right, I should be going the way everyone else is.
The people who have never done anything like this before, whenever I got like the stats in at the end, I was like, what? Because, you know, out of the 487 that started it, 15 DNF, that was it. And that for me, as you know, as an event director, we've never had anything that little, you know. And as you say, if there was cutoffs or if it was, you know, more sold as a race rather than an event, people would have gone in with more of that event day anxiety, and the sort of talking yourself out of your own ability would have happened quickly. Because I just could not believe for that amount of people, and especially the amount of newbies, that we only had 15 people drop out. It's just incredible. Because the medics that were in the Batunog school were saying, you know, there's people coming in and their feet were in bits and we were just tidying them up. And they're going, yeah, okay, fine, thanks. I'm off. No problem. I'm going. Yeah. I'm going to do it. And that just shows the empowerment that what I love about it is, as you say, the people who aren't normally, you know, the women who aren't normally in these kind of events, they'll become the stepping stone and inspire the people within their, you know, social circles and where they are. Because it's, that for me is incredible.
I mean, it's amazing. I think, you know, I met this wonderful lady called Mim in the pub in the night before the race, where we kind of were staying over the pub, and talking about what events like this do for the rest of your life, and because crossing the finish line and seeing what it meant to so many women and the confidence they took, they just say, I've never thought I could do that. I never thought I could do that. And, you know, there, everyone's going to go back to kind of whether in the running club, whether they're kind of a workplace, kind of family, and just say, you know, if I can do it, you know, everyone else can. And I think we kind of say that, you know, the longer the distance, the more difficult it is. And people look at how much people train for marathons and think, well, an ultra is going to be more than that. But especially as women, a lot of us, when we're carers, you know, we're on our feet all day. We train for this all day, every day. And these women, we show to others it's possible. I just love to see more and more women, you know, have a go and have more environments like this that are supportive of getting every single woman that can to that finish line.
I agree.
No, and I think what Rachel was saying just whenever you were getting signal was the lovely thing that people were able to have conversations and wanted to talk as they were going along, rather than hi, bye, coming through. It was, oh, where are you from? Where are you up to? It's that kind of celebration atmosphere.
And I think you get that with the longer ultras. I think kind of people kind of race the 30-mile type events. But it's what I've loved about ultras. Kind of, I'll have conversations with people that, you know, you're going to find something out about someone that they've probably never told their best friend. I think it just breaks every barrier down, and you can just have the best conversations and really kind of focused on, you know, what you're really thinking and feeling. And that's what I heard a lot about the finish line, kind of people crossing the finish line kind of hand in hand, like multiple. And you think, well, have they run the whole thing together? Did they come to the start line together? Well, no, they met on the course and they're now best friends.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's the journey, isn't it? And I think that's what's lovely about it, that you'll start and you won't have met anybody, you know, like, you know, and then you've got friends for life because you've experienced the same sort of difference and so on.
Like I said to you, I was the last 3 mile for me, where I was just broken, and I was coming down. I'd actually left my friend behind, and I came down onto beach, and I actually just saw Sophie coming in the opposite direction. And I was like, oh my God, are you Sophie? Because I'm and bless her, she came and almost to the end of the finish line with me. And at that point, I was pretty much broken, but just having that boost and the conversation made such a difference.
That's a very long beach. It's a very, very long beach, and you can see the finish line a long way away.
Yeah, it's like a 12-mile, 1-miler. But we're doing it anti-clockwise next year. So you start on the beach in the morning, and then you're coming into a festival finish in Pusali, which is going to be brilliant, like how, you know, the European races are. And oh, I can't wait. You know, we opened on
Do you have
midnight.
Any places left, Hugh, for the
business? They're disappearing. We were just over six. I've just checked. We're just over 680 places after opening on. Yeah, so
you've got 680 places signed up.
Yeah. And we only opened on Saturday night.
What's the capacity of this race?
The capacity. Well, what we've done is, we've asked in the options, walker, hiker, runner.
Yeah.
So there's going to be waves, like the walkers are going to be going off at something like 5:30. The hikers are going to be going off at something like 6:30. And the runners then are be going off at 8:00. So there's no bottlenecks again, but it makes sure that we're able to facilitate
Absolutely.
Everything. And, you know, just how, you know, the races are done. And the events are done overseas. And then it's just a great, you know, financial injection into the local community. And what's lovely about, you know, saying about these things for us as a community is that it's not just the one day. A lot of the time they'll come up on the free recces, or they'll come back with their friends and family to the area, because Pusali's like a hidden Cornwall, you know, the Thurn Peninsula.
That's
people
gorgeous.
Like, oh my God, how did that, you know, it's like, I've never heard of this place. And once they're here, it's like, oh my days.
Yeah,
you know,
we're
going to come back here on holiday. So yeah, for us, and what we've got the ability now, you know, with the She Ultra like movement, is to, you know, shout the cause for women's cancer charities and what's to be done. So the women's, the She Ultra ambassador team, is we're going to do something what's called the Pathway of Hope. We, Holly McFarlane, who is one of our She Ultra ambassadors, she's recently had a mastectomy, but she's also a kindergarten teacher, and she's written a book called Sometimes Mummy Feels. And what it is it's a little book that children can have if their mum is going through cancer treatment, and it just explains different emotions and sometimes mummy feels this. And we've got quite a lot of those books that we purchased, and we're going to be doing a relay walk, jog, run with the She Ultra ambassadors to all the cancer centres in Wales, starting in Bangor, and dropping off the books in each one. But we're going to be doing it, well, they're going to be doing it, me, the Royal We, they're going to be doing it within 3 weeks, for the simple reason that the Welsh government said that it's their objective to get from going to the doctors with a lump to be getting a screening in 3 weeks, and it isn't happening. You know, we've got some of the She Ultra ambassadors that, you know, have requested one before Christmas, and they didn't have it until, you know, the week before the event. So it's raising that attention, you know, we're much more than an event, and it's about supporting the women after the finish line, and, you know, being you know, using this now as a platform, you know, to do more sort of thing. So yeah, it's very exciting. Normally, you know, after an event, it's like a couple of days taking the signs down and so on, and then you can have a bit of a chill. It's as if I've, it's as if my house has just turned into sort of like this. Oh, it's, my house turned into Alton Towers, and you know, as if I'm on the reception. It's like people coming in and out, which is brilliant, and it's got people talking. You know, what we want people to do is, and what the problem is, we don't. Whenever we feel ill, we don't do anything about it, rather than acting on it straight away. You know, rather than, oh, you know, I'll go and see the doctor next week, or I'll just wait until we come back from holiday, or I'll just do this. You've got to take the approach, if you're not feeling 100%, as if it's one of your children, because those are the ones that are going to be missing you if you don't go to the doctors or tell somebody about it. And that's what we want to get. You know, if you can go out and do an ultra marathon, you can certainly go and speak to a doctor if you're not feeling, and that's what we've got the platform for now. I can't thank you, and you know, like, you're the originals. We've only had the originals once before, and that's when we started the Pentland Ultras back in 2016, which was a huge punt. And then because of everybody signing up for this, you've laid the foundation now for you've just empowered so many people, you know, all 478 of you. It's just incredible.
It's crazy that there are 680 for next year, and it's going to be so wonderful. And you just know that I wonder how many of those are ones that did it this year, because everyone wanted to go back.
There are a lot of people have signed up already, and not only signed up but have bought, you know, are going to bring big people with them.
And you know, I mean, what we're doing as well, you know, for the women that, you know, thanks very much. That's, you know, these are the ones that haven't done anything like that before and did it on Saturday. What we're doing is, you know, like the free recces that we had for this year, we're inviting the ones that did the ultra this year, even if they haven't signed up for next, to come back on the recces as like a reunion recce.
So, party.
Yes, and they're able to pass their first-hand information to the women that are doing it for the first time, which I think is just, you know, like a lovely idea. There's other little tweaks that we're, you know, going to be doing to be even more supportive. But it was just
having the different finish, I think, kind of is going to be where, kind of having that much more central, where you can have a drop bag and you can have, because I think a lot of women wanted to stay around for longer, but you know, you didn't have your kit with you.
Yeah.
So, and you needed to get back. And there was, I think, creating that, I mean, I was lucky kind of to have my kit there so I could stay for seven hours, and then I got a bit cold. But that meant a lot to me to see others. And I think kind of on a traditional ultra, I'm like, right, I'm done. I'm out of here. This is not your normal ultra. Yeah. And I think people wanted to stay. And especially when you had the massive groups, kind of the Harbour Panthers, and then you had the Scouts, 40 women from those just two running clubs, of which in the Panthers, only three had done an ultra before. And they stayed around to congratulate everyone else. And I think that's the difference. I think there's when it's just women, it's all of us in it together and desperately supporting everyone else and willing others to the finish line. And it's really hard. I've got to write an article for Women's Running Magazine about this, and I've got a blank piece of paper, genuinely, and I just don't know where I'm going to start and how on earth I could actually communicate what it's like to do something like this with only women. So I've only got a week deadline. I've got less than a week deadline. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Just draw a picture. Just draw a nice little picture with some felt tips and something.
I could actually just take Wendy's photos and just put four pages of her photos.
Yeah.
And I think everyone will get the point.
Yeah.
But for us at She Races, it's really kind of what we can learn about this. And you put we put a poll out to people, say, are you interested in women only races? And it wasn't half. It was a very large minority. And some people are like, well, because it's less than half, you know, there aren't women interested. And I think seeing this, thinking there is this massive kind of opportunity for race directors
huge
put things like this on and learn from it. And I think
as well, you know, with the race directors, to learn from it, but also attach a charity to your event.
Yeah.
Attach a charity. Doesn't matter what charity, but attach it to it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you've got the platform to inspire people to take part in your events. So capitalize on that and give back, you know. You know, £17,500 is an incredible amount. And, you know, we are the Women's Cancer Charity is Ultra. That's us. And it's sort of sometimes the path takes you or the route takes you to what you're about. And this is what we are. You know, we've got a platform to help. And I think, I'm not saying I'm lucky, but because of circumstances that put my life into this situation where, you know, stage 4 inoperable cancer, and I've seen firsthand, you know, the knock-on effect to women in my life, and then making friends and having friends with cancer, I know firsthand how important it is, rather than it being sort of like lip service to, you know, oh yeah, we do this charity and that. You know, this is, you know, I'm heavily invested in the whole fundraising side of things. And yeah, it's just been great. It's been really good. I haven't got any room in my big shed for all the signs though. we've had quite a few people coming over and stuff, but yeah, it's great. But yeah, Sophie, I know you're busy, and I know the new town mayor of Pataris,
yes,
Walter the dog, needs to go for a walk. Brilliant.
Thank you ever so much, Hugh.
Oh, brilliant. Sophie and Rachel, I cannot thank you enough for coming to the first episode.
And I don't think we can thank you enough for having the insight to put it on, and kind of from all the women that were on that start line, on that finish line, just a huge thank you, because I don't think you realise how many lives you changed by putting that event on. And it's not hyperbole. It really is. Those women are living different lives now just because of what you've created.
100%.
No, it's very kind. And we're very lucky where we live on the Slim Peninsula that it produced the goods again. What a beautiful
weather. Incredible.
Beautiful. Hey, thanks ever so much, and enjoy the rest of your days. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. What a lovely show that was, wasn't it? What a lovely show that was. Now go and sign up. Now go and sign up. Admin heavy week, closed down. I'm not making any sense. But yeah, sign up. Come and say hi. Get up. And run podcast. See ya. Oh, there's bleating lamb. Do you get it? No, it's gone. Gutted. Get up.